And the series is really based on or springboards from the Book of Joshua, which is a great book. How many of you have read the Book of Joshua before, parts of it? There's some great stuff in that book, and we would probably spend, I don't know, 20 weeks if we covered the whole thing, but we're going through the 5 weeks on Joshua chapters 1 through 6. And the title of the series is called Crossing Over. And the whole idea, I'll give you the ending before we start the beginning. The whole idea is crossing over to victory. You know how Joshua and the children of Israel finally got there at the edge of the promised land, and they were about to go over. And as they went in, they had total victory over their enemies. And they were going to a land that God promised them. And for us, we can take that scripture, obviously, and apply it to our lives. Because you have to remember that the children of Israel, it wasn't just 40 years in the wilderness. Before that 40 years of wandering in the desert without a home, there was 400 years of living in Egypt, not in their own home, and becoming slaves in the land of Egypt. So this is a long time coming, this crossing over for them to victory, to a homeland that God promised, the land of promise, the land of Israel, Eretz Israel. This was the land that God promised to Abraham and his descendants through Isaac and through Jacob. And just as Joshua and the people crossed over to that promise, to that land of promise, and to that victory that God had for them, to a home after 440-something years, we can take that and apply it to our lives. Just as they crossed over, we can cross over too to victory in our lives, from bondage to slavery, to victory in Yeshua. And that's the key for us, victory in our Messiah, Yeshua. We can't cross over by ourselves, but it's through Yeshua. So that's what this sermon series is about, and that's what we've been talking about. Last week, we talked about the calling that was on Joshua's life. You know, before you do anything else, you've got to have a calling from God. If you're going to do something from God, you can't just go out and say, well, I'm going to do something. You've got to be called to it. We said last week, you don't call yourself to something. You don't decide, I'm going to be this great evangelist, I'm going to go do all this, because that's going to be under your own power. You know, I was reading in my Bible this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 15. And if you don't know about 1 Samuel chapter 15, this was during the reign of Saul, King Saul, the first king of Israel. And Saul had good intentions, but God had told him certain instructions. God had said, you are to go in and totally destroy the Amalekites. And you are to wipe them out, because that represented sin. Just as the children of Israel had to go in the land and take out the enemies of God so they can live in peace. We know that they didn't do that, and they were struggling. They were struggling against the Philistines, the Canaanites, all those ites in the land. Back in 1 Samuel 15, Saul was told certain instructions from God, and he did not fully obey. And he spared the king of the Amalekites, Agag, and we know there was disastrous consequences of that. And the consequences basically were the throne of Saul was taken away. God took Saul out of the picture and was to bring in another king. Why? Because when we read the scripture in 1 Samuel 15, Saul, we think, oh, he's doing the right thing. He's doing what he believes is the right thing. He's saving the best things to sacrifice to the Lord. He killed and destroyed all the, you know, ugly cattle and all the things that we could do without, but saved the choice stuff for the Lord. Sounds very spiritual, doesn't it? But it wasn't what God had instructed. God had said to completely wipe them out and completely take them out so that you will be unencumbered as you go into the land. And because Saul thought of doing it his own way and not God's own way, the kingdom was taken from him. This is very important. So we think sometimes in our lives, well, I'm going to go do this because I'm going to do great things for the Lord. Or I'm going to go do that because I'm going to go do great things for the Lord. And you may have great intentions, but if it's not God's calling for your life and not God's will, we are being like Saul. We are not following the Lord. And that's a hard reality, and it's really, this is deep stuff here, and this is important stuff. God wants our hearts aligned with His heart. Not what we think doing is best for the Lord, but what He thinks doing is best. That's what we need to do. So when we're talking last week about the calling before anything else, make sure it's a calling from the Lord. That's basically the sermon from last week. Make sure it's from the Lord. God bestows the calling on you, and that's the very first step. He has called you to do fill in the blank. Whatever he's called you to. Maybe it's being a father and raising your children for the Lord. Maybe it's being a influential person at work and showing the love of Yeshua to people, sometimes without even expressing your faith verbally. It doesn't matter what you're calling. Maybe your calling is ministry work. It doesn't have to be ministry work. We all have callings in our life. We need to find out what God is calling us to, not what we're calling ourselves to. Very important. But the call always comes first. Now, once we have the call from God, here's the next step today. Once we have the call from God, we don't just say, okay, got it. Got the call. I know it's from you. It's not from me. Not going to make the mistake of Saul. I'm ready to go. Let's do it. I'm ready. Let's go. Put me in, coach. God doesn't do it like that. He doesn't say, okay, I've called you now. Go, quick. There is a time of preparation. That's what we're talking about today. There is a time between the calling and fulfilling the calling where there is, and I'm telling you, 99.9999% you need to have the time preparation. Now, you'll probably come to me after service and you'll say, Rabbi, I get what you mean, but here's an exception to that. No. There probably is some exception somewhere if God has already been preparing you before the calling. But I'm telling you, one way or the other, there is a time of preparation. We are never fully ready for what God has for us when he calls us. Remember this saying we talked about last week. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You may get a calling, and you know what? You may not think it's a calling from God because you may be saying, what? You want me to do that? That is so not what I'm about, God. I wasn't trained for that. I don't know if I can do that. I have doubts about that. This is where the preparation time comes in. Very, very, very rarely, I'm not going to say never, very rarely does God call qualified, capable people that are just ready to be put into the game. There's always a time of preparation. Think when you first became a believer, those of us that are believers in the room in Messiah Yeshua, when you first became a believer, you thought you knew it all, you were on cloud nine, but as you go through your life as a believer, the sanctification part, as you go through your maturity in your walk, you realize, and as you get older, I know less and less of what I really thought I knew, right? Isn't that the case? You have to continue to prepare. Preparation doesn't end after you get the call, you do the preparation work, and boom, you're off. So you got to remember, preparation is something that's lifelong in a sense, in many, many ways. But God doesn't call us completely qualified. We have to have a time of preparation, a time of maybe it's education, a time of learning, a time of growing in the Lord maybe. Once we get that calling, there's a time of preparation. For Joshua, the calling came first. You know, he had many, I believe that, you know, God knew what Joshua was going to do when Joshua was born. We know that. Joshua was Moses' understudy. He was Moses' admin. He spent years learning, sitting there and just learning, watching Moses do things right, watching Moses do things wrong. He spent time in the tabernacle. We read that scripture last week. He had time of preparation. And you know what? After Joshua was anointed and Moses died, and we get to the book of Joshua, he even has a time of preparation then, before he goes and does what God has called him to do. So there's even a time of preparation after that very distinct calling on Joshua. That's what we're talking about today. We're going to be going through some steps of preparation. But preparation, one more note before we get into it. Preparation, I think, in my own experience, it's never fun. It's never fun because it's the hard work. It's the time when you say, okay, God wants me there and I'm over here and I have a huge mountain to climb. I've got to really get rid of some bad habits in my life. Or, I really need to go and get this particular education or something. It's never fun to do this preparation work. It's not glamorous. It's not glorifying, you know. But I want to talk about some steps today of that preparation that we need to really think through. Number one is assessing where we are. It's really important to assess where we are when we get that call. And where we are and where we need to be. So assessing that gap in a way. Turn to Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Now remember, Joshua spent years with the Lord, years with Moses, but he still, when he came to the edge and they're ready to go and take care of business, God had given him the call, he still had to do some preparation work. Now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho," because they knew Jericho was very strategic. And so they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And I don't have time to get into the story of Rahab, but you remember, Rahab and her family were the only ones spared when Jericho was leveled by the Israelites. And the reason she was spared is because she housed the spies. But the point of this is, Joshua didn't just go in and say, "We got this. You know what? God's called us to do this. We're just going to go take it. The army of the Lord is behind us. The angels of the Lord are behind us. There's nothing that's going to stand in our way of victory." He said, "You know what? Let me send out some spies to see what we're up against. Let me go take a look at what the gap is. Let me go see at how what's going on inside there before I go and I just charge through like a bull in a china shop. Let me do some preparation work. Let me think this through." Joshua was wise. He was entering this time of preparation. He assessed the situation. What was he getting himself into? It is foolish just to charge into the land without finding out what's in there. It's foolish for us to charge into that calling without figuring out where we are, where we need to be, and what God wants through the whole thing. Look at our lives. Once you have that call in your life, you really realize, if you're honest with yourself, "Oh boy, I got to do some things to get ready for this. I got to go spy out the land," like Joshua spied out the land. Be honest with yourself. We tend to think we're invincible. We can do anything. Like I said, when we get older, I've been noticing lately that, you know, we find out we're not as invincible as we think we are. That happens with age and wisdom and gray hair, and I'm getting a lot of it all. So think about that. We're not as smart as we think we are. We're naive if we think God has called us to something and we've got everything we need right now, all in our little belt toolbox here. You know, "I got everything I need to go and take care of business." You know, you have everything you need in Messiah, but you have to tap into what that is. You have to tap and really understand what God is saying and prepare for that. It's very misguided just to jump into something hastily and rash. And preparation is not something we do because we have a lack of faith. That's important to say. People say, "Oh, you don't need to prepare. Where's your faith? Don't you believe that God's going to catch you when you jump off the ledge?" Well, preparation is not something we do because we have a lack of faith. Preparation is not a dirty word. Let's turn to Proverbs. We're going to be talking about a lot of good scripture today in Proverbs, which is my favorite book of the Bible because it has practical insights for a life of faith in the Lord. Proverbs 24:27. "Prepare your outside work, make it fit for yourself in the field, and afterward build your house." You know, it's biblical, it's scriptural to plan, to think through things, to prepare your fields first. It's rash to just go in without doing preparation. God gave us a mind to prepare for things. He gave us a mind to think through things. You know, it's not mutually exclusive, faith and our mind and thinking through things. It needs to go and work together for the Lord. So number one, let's assess where we are. Joshua did it. It's biblical to do it. Number two, this is a big one. When you're preparing, wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. There's tons of scriptures about this. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Why do we need to wait? God will direct us. God will strengthen us. God will reveal things to us. God will instruct us as we wait on the Lord. You're basically saying, "You know what? I'm not going to rush in. I'm not going to be a Saul. I'm going to wait on you and be like David. I'm going to listen." You know, David would say to the Lord all the time, "Should I go and attack this certain people?" He needed to understand and he needed to wait on that still small voice of the Lord to instruct him, to teach him, to prepare him. We cannot rush what God has for us. We cannot rush what God has for us, and we can't rush the times of preparation. Oswald Chambers said, people have sought to carry out God's orders through a shortcut of their own. And that is very true. When we start shortcutting things, oh, I can just do this really quickly. I don't have to worry about this. God will take care of the rest. This is not what God wants us to do. We always try to shortcut things and shortchange and shortcut God. Now that word right there from Oswald Chambers is very convicting to me, at least. People have sought to carry out God's orders through a shortcut of their own. It's not just carrying out your orders. People are trying to do the right thing, like Saul, carry out God's orders. But if you do it through a shortcut, remember when Saul first did the wrong thing was when he rushed into things and didn't wait on Samuel to come back. He didn't wait on the Lord and God's timing. He saw with his eyes all the Philistines and all the peoples coming. He was afraid, and it was not faith, it was fear that drove him to the decision. You need to have a life of faith. We need to have a life of faith and wait on the Lord. A lot of times we jump into things because we're afraid. What if somebody else does it before me? What if I'm not good enough? What if I don't really understand it? You got to just jump in, but you have to wait on the Lord before you jump in. You know, sometimes God may be telling you to jump, but you got to wait to make sure it's God. You got to wait to make sure that it's the Lord. You know, I can only give you examples from my own life that should help you, and I pray that I go through. If I say things about my life, I pray that you understand. Think about your lives. Think about the experiences you've had. You all have been called to things that I have not been called to. And you, in your heart of hearts, think through it. I can just relate to you stories about how this applies to me. You know, I was called by the Lord. I believe this with all my heart. I was called by the Lord to be a congregational leader. Like I said last week, not an evangelist, not this, that. This is my calling from the Lord. But you know what? When I first was called, it was almost 10 years ago, and I was not ready. I thought I was ready. I wanted it in the worst way because I wanted to fulfill the calling on my life from God. But man, was I immature. Man, was I not ready for what God had for me. And if I would have gotten into ministry right when I was called, I probably would not still be in ministry today. And I'm being completely honest with you, because right then the calling happened, but it was years and years and years of maturing, of growing, of trying to step into the shoes of being qualified for that calling that God had for me. I know that if I would have rushed into it, and I could have found a way if I would have pushed to rush into it, it would not be the Lord. But I spent several years after being called, even before I was ordained as an assistant rabbi, to just sit and wait and trust and ask the Lord and prepare. And I would read and I would study. And I would do all the things that I had to do. And it paid off. And now I can think, as I'm a rabbi now, I can think back during those times of preparation. Those times of preparation helped me get through the difficult situations that I would never have known about had I not gone through them. I fall back constantly on things that I've studied or experiences that I've had in that time period. That time period from the calling to the fulfillment of the calling. And it is amazing. Think back in your life. Think of things that maybe you've had or been called to. And if you would have jumped right in, maybe you did jump right in and you regret it. But all that time of preparation, God knows what he's doing. At the time, I was like, what's going on, God? You called me to this. Why is it taking so long? This is really taking a long time here. It's not just 1 year. It's not just, and like I'm telling you, nothing happened. Every door closed. And I was saying, Lord, what is going on? This doesn't make any sense. You called me to this. But God knows what he was doing. And there had to be a time of preparation. Psalm 62, 1 through 2. Truly, my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. You know, it's not fun to say those kind of things when we just want to get on with the business of the Lord. It's not fun to wait for God. It's painful sometimes. You're like, oh, you know, but you have to just wait on the Lord and trust God and know that he will fulfill that calling. You know what? That calling may take a year to be fulfilled. That calling may take 20 years or maybe even more. It's like when you pray for people. You know, you pray for your friends, you pray for your family, pray for unsaved Jewish people, and it takes forever. And you get discouraged. Lord, what's going on? I'm praying fervently. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Why is this not happening? People, I mean, I've heard the stories. People have prayed for people for years, 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Don't stop praying. Don't stop waiting on the Lord. Trust that he's going to have things. He has things all in his hands. When we wait on the Lord, when we stop and listen to what the Holy One of Israel is saying, we can be assured that we are hearing God's voice and not our own. This is very important. When we stop and we listen and we wait, we can be sure that the calling is sure. You may have been given a calling by God to do something, but if you jump right in, if you start doing it and working and laboring, you could be jumping ahead of God. And I'm telling you what, it is not the place you want to be. You do not want to be ahead of God. Now, the opposite is true. You don't want to be behind the Lord either. You don't want to wait to the point of you're afraid to move forward. Because God will sometimes say, go, and you need to go. So you got to be sensitive to the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, about what to do. But don't get ahead of the Lord. Wait on him, and he will show you how to do things, how to accomplish something far better than you could do it yourself. That's the key. Far better. He will completely blow away your expectations for yourself, for that calling. When we don't wait on the Lord, we tend to go under our own power. We make decisions along the way ourselves because we've gotten ahead of God, before God, because we don't have a compass. God is our compass. We don't have a treasure map. God knows where the buried treasure is. We don't know. So you get ahead of God and you're just like in the dark and you're just trying to feel your way around things. We don't have no idea how to fulfill that calling once we get past the Lord. We don't want to get there. Number three, seek counsel and confirmation. This is a big, big thing. Many times we hear things, but how can we be 100% positive from the Lord? And I'm not blaspheming here. I mean, you may have heard from the Lord, but you also may not be hearing from the Lord. It may be something else. It may be, who knows? We have this notion to go and help people because we have compassion in our hearts. We have this notion to go do things for the kingdom because we have the love of Messiah in us, and that's wonderful. But that might not be the calling God has you to. If you did everything that your heart wanted you to do for people and things, you would be stressed out. You would be spread so thin that you wouldn't be any effective to anybody after a certain amount of time. God has called each. That's why there's one body and many parts. You, as one part of this the body here, may not be called to this part over here. So if you go running out and in your own power trying to do all these things with good intentions and good notions, you will not be successful because it's not what God has called you to. We have to remember that. It's okay to say no. You know, my wife and I just went on this conference, went to this conference put on by Jonathan Burness this past week, which was absolutely wonderful. And the speaker, the keynote speaker, was talking about burnout, you know, how to prevent burnout in your life. Many of us have gotten close to that burnout. And one of the things he said was, and this is really, really important, you have to learn to say no. Okay? Don't say yes to everything. Don't try to be everything to everybody. You have to know what your calling is and what your calling is not. And I'm not saying be rude and say, oh, that's not my calling, can't help you. I'm not saying be like that. I'm saying know when to go forward for the Lord to deal with something that's in your calling and when to say, that is wonderful, but that's not my calling. I'll pray about that for somebody else to do that, or there will be somebody else because that part of the body will fulfill that calling. God doesn't miss things. We have to focus on what we were called to, but be 100% positive that it's your calling and not just some notion you have based on compassion or whatever. Those are good things from the Lord, but it's not necessarily your calling. Seek counsel and confirmation to verify, to be specific, to understand, to know that you are truly hearing from the Lord. We are all called to go and preach the gospel message to people. Absolutely. But there are specific callings within that larger calling that each one of us is called to. And we have to find it for ourselves, and we have to wait on the Lord and then move forward with the Lord. But you have to seek counsel. You can't just do it yourself. Second Peter chapter 1. I'm going to touch on three different verses within this passage here. 5, 8, and 10. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. For these things are yours and abound. This is verse 8. For these things are yours and abound. You will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Yeshua Messiah. Verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You need to seek counsel. We need to seek counsel and confirmation to make sure our call and election is sure. And before we go out and try to do all these different things that maybe our heart is telling us to do, but is it God telling us to do it? Don't fall into the trap of Saul and do what you feel is the best. Do what God feels is the best. That's the point. Proverbs 29:18, we don't have the scripture up there, but the basically in the King James Version says, without knowledge the people perish. Without knowledge the people perish. You could have wonderful calling in your life, but without knowledge, you will not succeed with what God has you to do. We need knowledge from the Lord. We need to know that it is the Lord calling us, and we need that confirmation. Joshua had the Almighty God who is all-powerful. God could have gone in there before them, and literally, before Joshua did anything, he could have just gone in and just mowed down all those people. Just cleared a path like he's like cutting the grass. Boom! Here you go. Here's your land. God could have done that. Isn't it interesting that he didn't, though? Joshua and the people of Israel had to go in and do the work. There's other sermons that we could preach about why that is. You know, God calls us to do certain things to strengthen us, to encourage us, to show us things, to have us go through it. Because if God fought all our battles for us, so to speak, we wouldn't learn anything. So God allows us to work, to do things. He actually has us doing things. But if God did it all for us, there wouldn't be a need for a calling. There wouldn't be a need for any preparation because he would just do it all for us. God could have done that for Joshua, but God didn't do it like that. I believe God wanted Joshua and the people to do the work with his knowledge and with his blessing so they would learn to rely on God as they're going to do it. Because this is real battles they were fighting. People died in these battles. It wasn't just like, all done, nobody got a scratch. People died in these battles. People on the side of Israel. God wanted Joshua and the people to do the work, to go forward in the calling. So there had to be that time of really seeking the Lord. Is this what you want us to do? Because this is real warfare here. This is not just God doing it for us. We got to make sure. We have to make sure that calling is there. We have to make sure that it's the Lord. Got to get that lay of the land. You got to understand what's in front of you, because God wants us to go and fight battles. He wants us to go and do that work. The work doesn't just get done. When God has called you to something, make sure that calling and election is sure, and use knowledge. Use your mind that God gave you. Of course, it's the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that's going to guide you. But that the Ruach HaKodesh works in concert with our God-given mind that he gave us. This is from the Lord. We're made in the image of God. We have a mind. We need to use it. Plan, think, consult the Lord, consult other people. Make sure, get counsel. Even the best of us gets discouraged. Even the best of us thinks, oh man, God, you called me to this, but was it really your calling? How many of you have ever thought that? God, you don't have to raise your hand. It's like after a year, after 2 years, and nothing's happening, you're like, did God really say that? Maybe it wasn't the Lord. Maybe I just ate something wrong for breakfast that day. I don't know. Make sure. Get counsel from people. Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. That's a scripture. That's one of those scriptures you could post somewhere, right? A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. We all need wise counsel, even me, even you. We are not born with all this. You know, when we become believers and we get our calling, yes, the Holy Spirit reveals things to us. But God does this for a reason. It's about community. It's about getting counsel. It's about getting confirmation. Many times we get something, we think it's the Lord, but we need to get that confirmation. Confirmation is something that it's basically like God saying it again. We need to know it's the Lord, and a lot of times he'll provide that through confirmation. You could get something from the Lord, and then somebody will come up to you out of the blue and say something, and it totally matches what the Lord said. That's confirmation. Or maybe you're struggling with this calling that God put on your heart, and somebody has a word for you. Or you even hear a scripture or something. Out of the blue, you're like, that's confirmation. It totally goes along with what God is saying to you, and God used that person, that thing, that whatever, to confirm that that's what you need to do. Because we all need encouragement, we all need counsel, and we all need confirmation. Look, sometimes God uses unbelievers to confirm things for us. God used a donkey to confirm and do things for Balaam, remember? God can use donkeys in your life. There's donkeys in your life. And I know there is. There's people that are really donkey-like in your life. How do I know that? Because there's a lot of them in my life. God will use them, and you know, he'll use it to humble you too. He'll use it to humble you, to confirm things. God can use those things for you. Number four, be open. This is really, really key here. As you're going through all this, be open and be teachable. We read that. You know, we just read that back in Proverbs 1:5. Increase learning, attain wise counsel. You can't get wise counsel if you're completely closed. Well, I know everything. God is going to reveal it through the Holy Spirit when he sees fit. Well, no, God uses people to accomplish his purposes. You got to be open and teachable. And you know what? It might come from a donkey. It might come from somebody you don't expect. God could be teaching you things. Psalm 34:18. Listen to this. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. The scripture doesn't say the Lord is near to those that are extremely arrogant about their calling or those that are supremely confident that they know everything. No. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. What does it mean to have a broken heart? It means we realize that we don't know a thing without the Lord in our lives. That we can't lift a finger and attain any part of the calling without God fueling it for us. You know, when we become a believer, we have the Spirit of God. We have Yeshua inside of us. We are nothing, but he makes us everything. That is not a pride thing. That is a scriptural thing. You know, we need to be open and teachable because God can use things in our lives. And a lot of times it is meant to humble us. But with Yeshua inside of us, we can accomplish great things. But we need to be open because God could be using anything to give us that next step, that next breadcrumb on the way to fulfilling the calling. But we need to have a broken heart, a broken and contrite spirit. Be humble. How many times have you met somebody that's supremely arrogant in a position of ministry power and you say to yourself, oh, that is such a terrible witness? I'm telling you, in ministry, I see it all the time. I see people and I'm like, you do not have the Spirit of the Lord working right there because that's the spirit of pride. That's the spirit of arrogance. You know, I pray that I don't come across that way. In our lives, it's a complete turnoff when people see an arrogant believer. We need to have a broken and contrite heart and be humble and be meek. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. You want to fall in your calling with God? Get some pride. Pride is the opposite of a broken and contrite spirit. We have got to be right before the Lord if we're going to accomplish anything with the Lord. And Psalm 25:4, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Make sure as you go through your life, as you go through your life as a believer, as you fulfill the calling, great or small, you know, big or small, that you say, teach me your paths. Have a teachable spirit. Don't be closed. God could be using anything to get your attention and to show you the next step along the way. And number five, the last thing, trust in the Lord. This is kind of simple, but we need to trust in the Lord. As we're going through the whole process, it's fueled by trusting the Lord through it, because it's easy to get discouraged. But we need to be doing this through the whole process. When you're assessing where you are, trust in the Lord. When you're waiting on the Lord, trust in Him. When you are seeking counsel and confirmation, trust that God's going to give you that counsel and confirmation. When you're sitting there open, teachable, ready, trust the Lord will provide the answers to you. Maybe it's not in your time, but it's in His time. Trust in the Lord. When you seek that counsel, when you seek a confirmation, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my two favorite scriptures verses in the entire Bible. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. If you live by these two verses, you pretty much are doing okay in life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not just trust in the Lord until you reach the point where you're qualified. And then you can just run with things. Trust in the Lord with not some of your heart, all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding. Saul's problem is he thought through things with his own understanding of what he should do. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Are we acknowledging the Lord in all of our ways as we go through this time of preparation? We need to trust in the Lord. We need to acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. It won't be us going down the path preparing. It'll be God doing it. I mean, I could literally go through hours preaching about this because it's such good stuff. It's such foundational and simple stuff, but it's so profound and deep stuff too. We got to listen and we got to trust in the Lord. Last scripture, Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. This is the last thing we need to remember. You know, Joshua and the people did go in and they fought the battles, right? We prepare. We get our horses ready. We spy out the land. We're open. We do all these things. But we have to remember, at the end of the day, it's not your power that's doing it. It's the Lord delivering. It's the Lord bringing you, crossing you over into victory. It's not your own power. We have a tendency, especially people in ministry, as you go along the path, especially as the adulation comes and as the congregation grows or as the stadiums fill up if you're a messianic worship artist or this or that, to start thinking it's you. Don't do that. Don't fall into that trap. Have that pure heart that knows deliverance is from the Lord. It's not me that people are coming to listen to. It's the Lord. You've got to remember, your calling is not for you to be puffed up, for you to be showing everybody how great you are and how they need to follow the Lord. It's how great God is. May we all, with our callings, fulfill them, pointing people to the Lord, to the Messiah. Deliverance is the Lord. It's the Lord that delivered the children of Israel, not Joshua, even though he was a great leader. It's the Lord that does these things in your life, even though it seems sometimes like it's under your own strength. It's not. Trust in the Lord, but know the deliverance is from the Lord. And as we close today, you know, again, I said this preparation thing, it's not just a point in time between the calling that's given to us and when we're running for the Lord and doing things. It's an ongoing thing. It's never a bad thing to continue to be open and teachable. It's never a bad thing to say, I haven't arrived yet. Let me assess where I am today. And oh, there's some gaps still. I've known people that have been believers for 30, 40, 50 years that have great ministries, but they have to have teachable spirits. And it gets harder when the victories come in your life. When the calling starts being fulfilled in certain ways, there's going to be a tendency to forget the Lord. Don't do it. Be open. Be teachable. Trust in the Lord. Know that deliverance is from the Lord. Only then will we truly have the victory. As we fulfill that calling in our life, only then will we have the victory. Why? Because God has the victory and not us. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for your scripture. I love how your scriptures tie together, Lord. I love how different authors inspired by you can put Yeah, pen to the scrolls, and basically you just speak through them, Lord God, and it's your words consistently. Lord, we know that each of us has been given a calling, but Lord, help us to use our minds to understand that there's a time of preparation. We're not there yet as soon as we're given the calling. There has to be a time to prepare. There has to be a time. And you know what? As we prepare, Lord, we're constantly aligning our hearts with you to make our calling and election sure, seeking counsel along the way, staying open and teachable. That's the way to victory in you, Lord God. So I want to pray for each and every person here, Lord, that you would reveal to them callings in their life that you have given, that you would move in their lives. But Lord, even if it's 6 months or a year or 10 years before you fulfill those things, help us not to lose heart. And I pray that they don't lose heart, Lord God. Help us to remember that you have it all under control in your timing, in your plan, in your purpose. And Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, I pray that you would just touch their heart today to start that journey of faith. Because we are all called to live a life of faith here, Lord God. I pray that you would bring people into the kingdom, even today. Convict people, Lord God, that they can turn from their sin, turn from doing things their own way, like Saul did, Lord, and we can die to ourselves and trust in you, Yeshua, who died for us, and we can live with you inside of us now, a new life, so that we can fulfill those callings that you are calling us to, Lord God. I just thank you so much, and I pray for each and every one of us. I pray for our community. I pray for our congregation, Lord God, that you would just move in our midst, that you would do wonderful things amongst us, fulfill callings, Lord God. Speak to people, Lord God. Reveal things to people. Lord God, help us to remember, though, Lord God, that deliverance is from you. And we'll just trust in you, Lord God, every step of the way. We thank you, Lord. We praise you in Yeshua's name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.